welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it is the fall season and tailgate is upon us. Barbecue Bob and I got a little gig at the Notre Dame Michigan State game, and not this today, but a week from today. And Michigan State's got a bye this week, and we were fortunate enough to get one of your buddies on the line, Bob.
That's right. On the live line right now, the grilling line is the ever-present George Blaha. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Fellas, great to be on with you. Nice to have a weekend off, I think. Although the Spartans were playing well going into it, sometimes you'd rather just keep on playing. But,
yeah.
Hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, so what's your take on how the Michigan State Spartans are looking this year?
Well, I think you always have to look at the quarterback first and foremost, at least on the offensive side of the ball. And Brian Lewerke gets some kind of an A grade. It was A minus or an A. He's not up to A plus yet, maybe, but it looks like he will be. Needs to polish up his passing just a little bit, but as a field general, he's very composed, very together. Seems to see what the defense is doing, and knows when he can take advantage of the defense with that 4.6 speed of his. So. He's a positive. The defensive line's been very good. Of course, you know they have that three-headed monster running back of L.J. Scott and Gerald Holmes and Madre London. And on the defensive side of the ball, if I'm not mistaken, they have allowed 3 third-down conversions in 28 tries. That's a phenomenal number. And they haven't allowed a touchdown yet. The defense has, and they got a couple special teams touchdowns last week from Darius Phillips of Western Michigan. But this is a team that seems to be very solid on both sides of the ball. And if you look at the defensive leader, it's probably got to be Joe Bocci, the middle linebacker, and he's led him in tackles in the first two games.
So, George, what do you think of this Notre Dame game coming up?
Well, number one, it's sad. This is a great rivalry, and they're not going to play again for a number of years. That's unfortunate. But the 66 guys who are able to make it from both teams are going to get together the weekend of the game to commemorate that famous 10-10 tie that was the first, and maybe in my mind, still the only game of the century. And as far as Notre Dame's concerned, they have a defense that seems to be much like, in terms of the way they run around and get after you, a lot of the great defenses in the country. They seem quicker than they have been on defense. And, you know, I think offense for Notre Dame is still kind of a work in progress, but they have players. We know that.
Well, it's going to be a fantastic game, and that's really cool that they're doing that to get together to commemorate. I have not heard that, and was not aware of that. But
there. As a matter of fact, fellas, there's a pizza party for the players at the Spartan S Club inside the stadium Friday night, and then on Saturday at noon at the Hall of Fame Cafe. The guys will be there, and there'll be kind of a program for the fans of both teams. So it should be a special weekend.
That's awesome. Hey, George, we're going to be on the south lot from noon until kickoff. So we're tailgating with Wells Fargo, and if you would like to stop in, there's lots of Michigan State alum there that would sure love to shake your hand, but we'd like to get you some brisket and maybe a little bit of butt.
Oh, a little bit of brisket would be nice. I'll save the cold ones for after the game.
That's fine. We've got a menu that'll blow your mind. So please join us. Stop in and say hi to the fans.
You guys are in the W lot. That used to be the T lot right outside the south end zone.
That's correct.
Yes.
We have a big tent that says the Grilling Guys on it. You can't miss it.
Yep.
And we're usually up on the edge of the road there. But at the end of the day, would love to invite you by and next week and just shake a hand or two and make sure you've got great food.
Yeah, your counterpart for the basketball team shows up the Michigan State announcer for the men's basketball. Can't think of his name, but he shows up every year. But we'd love to have you.
Well, great. Nice invitation, and we'll see what happens. But I know whoever does show up will eat good, as my friends used to say.
Yeah, that's right. I'll pass this on to Wendy and give you our coordinates. George, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with us today.
Okay, happy to be on with you guys. Enjoy another weekend of college football. And, yeah, that Michigan State-Notre Dame game very well could be a classic. There have been a lot of them in the past. Let's hope this one's just as good.
Yeah, and while we're at it, you've been in college football for how many years?
Around 40.
We have affiliates
out. Of course, I was a fan.
Yeah, we have affiliates on the East Coast, a bunch of Rutgers fans. What kind of hope does Rutgers have of turning that thing around this year?
Well, you know, one of these years they're going to be very formidable because there's so many good football players in New Jersey. Just kind of, they've talked about this before, but they need to build a fence around New Jersey and keep all the good players there. So the Shalik Calhouns of the world, you know, who came and starred at Michigan State, don't get away. But Chris Ash is a good coach, and, you know, I think probably before this year is over, you're going to have to be careful of Rutgers.
Oh, that's good to hear. All right. George Blaha, the legend of Michigan State, the voice of the Spartans, thanks so much for joining us today on The Grilling Guys.
Great to be out with you guys.
Okay, buddy.
That's so cool he takes a minute to spend with us each year because he's a busy guy. And
Boy, he is.
But it's a lot of fun to have an opportunity to talk to George and get his insights on what's going on. A guy with 40 years of broadcast experience has seen a lot of games.
Well, he's just a terribly nice guy.
Right, and he still gets up for this. You know what I mean? You could tell there was excitement in his voice. We got a bye week this week for the Sparties, but... you know, he's ready.
He doesn't like that bye week.
Right. Yeah, right.
No.
Yeah.
Because right. They can be dangerous.
Right. Well, right? Yeah, your momentum is, I think.
That whole team might be sitting around, you know, thinking they might be needing to go to Fenn Valley or something like that. And that could really set them back.
Right. And we should just help them with
they
that.
They tie into this Capriccio that we're trying. Tell us about this Capriccio.
So that's another red, this is a red wine, dry red wine, but it's popular for what it doesn't have. So it's lacking the two things that a lot of people who don't like red wine complain about. One of those would be tannin, that astringency that kind of dries your mouth out. Capriccio is real low in that, so it's real fruity.
I don't necessarily need tannin.
Well, it's an antioxidant, though, Bob, so it helps keep you going longer.
Okay.
But in this case, the lack of it makes it a smoother, more fruit-forward wine.
That's probably what I like about it.
Yeah, it's real. It pairs with food well because you don't have that astringency factor to kind of come in there and interfere with your taste buds, but also it's not oaked. So it's just the fruit. So it's a very straightforward, very fruit-centric wine.
When you say it's not oaked, most of your red wines are fermented in oak barrels, and this one isn't? Is that what you mean?
Most reds are aged in oak. So originally, oak was one of the few woods that would hold liquid and didn't impart a whole lot of flavor. So it kind of became used for a lot of liquid storage and... in the U.S. in particular, and in some of the older wine drinking areas, you know, oak is the predominant wood used for storage of red wine. It's not required anymore necessarily, but we've acquired a taste for it. And I certainly like the oaked wines as well, but this one, you know, just takes a more straightforward, more fruit-centric approach.
And how many times can you use those barrels?
You can use them until they leak, but you only get the flavor the first time.
Okay.
I mean, some flavor maybe in subsequent
years.
There's
a cool term for the guys that make those barrels. What is it?
Coopers.
Yeah,
they're called Coopers. Yeah.
That's cool.
I wouldn't. That's a good name if you're a Cooper.
I'm a Cooper.
Yeah.
Right. Used to be a farrier.
But, I mean, you're a professional griller.
Yeah, we know
so
what you used to be.
Cool
right,
too.
Yeah. Exactly. But that's cool, and so those oak barrels, what do you do with them when you're done with them?
Well, they get used for a lot of projects around the winery, furniture, end tables, that sort
make
of thing.
Make great patio tables.
They do.
Right.
They can, yeah, they can.
Awesome. Exactly. Brian Lesperance, Fenn Valley, sure appreciate you chiming in and talking to us about that a little bit more.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to a guy named Derek Van Portfleet, who's going to do something special for our Operation GI Barbecue. You're not going to want to miss this. Stick with us. We'll be back. We'll be right back.